Good evening and welcome to another episode of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and prepare for a spine-tingling time.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Boo, Becca Says.
But wait. I don't remember this being that way. Hold
well,
on a second.
Just because you can't remember it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I have a feeling there's going to be a lesson to be learned through this.
Yes, it's called selective memory for men.
Wait, no. That's not right. I don't remember any of this.
Eh.
I have a feeling we're going to be talking about the Mandela effect.
Mandela effect, yes. I have actually been wanting to do this intro for a while because every time we sit down here to record, I kind of tease John a little bit and start in and do his whole little spiel he does at the beginning. And I said, you know, we ought to do that for like April Fool's Day or something. Like have that be the April Fool's episode. But we did it today for the remembering episode.
Well, so anyways, yes, today's episode is the Mandela effect. And it's going to be a very interesting episode. It's going to be kind of a disjoining from what we normally do. You know, we're usually do all the paranormal and ghostly history and hauntings and things like that. And really the Mandela effect is more
just
along the
weird.
Lines.
It's just weird.
Weird. Yes. But first of all, I want to give a great big shout out to Emily Hensley and her friends at Madison County High School.
In Madison County, North Carolina.
Yes. And I found out a day or two ago that they are big fans of the show. My aunt sent me a message on Facebook, and she said that her friends come up to her every week and say, is there a new episode out? And I was just like blown away because I was, you know, not expecting to have like my own set of groupies here.
You got some groupies at the high school.
So go Patriots. And thank you guys for listening. So this is your shout out. And we are very pleased that you are Boo, My Dad Says, or Boo, Becca Says.
That's right. Boo, we all say. And so, fans. And especially, yeah, you new listeners there in the high school, any listeners we have anywhere, if you have a story you'd like to share with us, or if you have a topic you want us to discuss, please comment on our Facebook. Send us a message through Facebook. You can also email us at john@boomydadsays.com.
You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/boomydadsays. Or you can follow us on Instagram at Boo My Dad Says, or on Twitter at Boo My Dad Says.
Well, that Twitter one's Boo Becca Says. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to be starting something new about maybe once a week on Sunday nights. We're going to be doing a application. It's a new application called Stereo. And I'm getting the stink eye from Becca.
Yes. Well, it's been funny to hear him say stereo. I've been coaching him on how to properly pronounce that word.
This is East Tennessee. It's stereo.
Okay. It's a stereo. Stereo is not like a Cheerio.
No.
Anyway.
Anyways, stereo, it's a new format that will allow you, the listeners, to have greater access to us, the host. And we're going to be doing usually probably a follow-up show to our main podcast, and we're going to do it on Sunday nights. What's really cool about this app is it will allow you to record questions. We will get the questions, and then we can play your question back on the air real time, and then we can answer it. Or we can just, you know, just have general discussions about the episodes. So this coming Sunday night at 7 o'clock is going to be a follow-up on the Mandela effect. So we would really love to see you there. I will put a link to the stereo show in the show notes for tonight. Moving on to our episode at hand, we are going to be talking about the Mandela Effect. And the Mandela Effect is a very interesting topic. It's not necessarily paranormal, but as we said earlier, it is just plain flat weird. So what is the Mandela Effect, you may ask?
What is the Mandela Effect, I'm asking? Sorry.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Have you ever been convinced that something is a particular way only to discover you have remembered it all wrong?
Most of my life. Sorry. I'm a little snarky tonight.
That's okay. I like the snark sometimes, especially if it does fit in with what we're doing. I am the probably one of the couple, I am definitely the least sarcastic.
No. Say it isn't so. They figured that out from the first time I opened my mouth.
Oh boy. Yeah, she is definitely on tonight. So a little bit of history about the Mandela Effect. The Mandela Effect was coined back in 2010 by a lady who is a paranormal consultant named Fiona Broom. She was at this conference and she was talking with some friends there about how she had remembered, falsely nonetheless, that Nelson Mandela died while he was in prison in the 1980s. But in reality, he was actually freed in 1990 and didn't pass away until 2013. So she had prematurely had Nelson Mandela dead.
Pushing up daisies.
Even more so, she actually remembered that there was a funeral on TV and saw clips of it. That was how convinced that she was that this was real. And as she was discussing it with other people also had this same memory. Expanding on this, as this term became more popular, other examples began popping up on the internet. Examples of, like, say, C-3PO. Everybody remembers him being totally gold, but in reality, he actually had a silver leg.
Who knew? I never paid attention to that, and I've seen all those movies.
Now, I actually knew that one, the silver leg.
Well, but you're a, like, diehard fan.
Well, and I seemed like I remember it was only actually in A New Hope. Then the others, I think he was completely gold, but I could have the wrong memory. But there are communities that have popped up on Reddit that discuss the subject of the Mandela Effect that are over like 200,000 members. There are websites, hashtags, videos with millions of views, and all these people remember things one way, even though all the evidence points to the exact opposites. Enthusiasts call evidence of the effect's residue as if there was a timeline that has since been erased and were only able to see the residual hints of what once was. Now, I'm going to give a couple examples of the Mandela Effect. And I've already done some of these with Rebecca, so it's not really going to be a surprise to her. But we do have an interview coming up with somebody who has never heard of the Mandela Effect. What do you all remember about the Wicked Queen in Snow White? What did she say to the mirror?
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
And that is what I remember and most people seem to remember. But in reality, the actual saying is magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Another good example that got me, and I still cannot remember this, even though I have now
seen this. You still can't remember it correctly?
I still can't remember it correctly. The Flintstones.
Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. Yeah.
The Flintstones actually has two T's in it.
The Flintstone.
But I don't know, maybe it's just the way people sing the song Flintstones. It sort of sounds like F-L-I-N and stones. But you don't seem to remember that second T, or well, the first T.
The first T.
And then there are other examples of like Oreo cookies, the double stuff. There's only one F, but people remember there being two Fs.
Because our lovely third grade teachers instructed us on how to spell the word stuff. And so we know that there's two Fs. It's a double consonant. And it should be S-T-U-F-F-E-D. If we're going to just keep going here. English teachers flipping out.
I've got an interview with Rebecca's cousin, Tabby. She has never heard of the Mandela effect. And we ask her some of these questions to see what she remembers in reality to how things really are.
So take a listen.
Tonight we're going to welcome our special guest, Tabitha Hunter. She is Becca's cousin, and we have, well, Becca's known her most of her life.
All except for 2 years. She's a little older than me.
Yeah, Tabitha's actually my age, so I'm not telling how old I am, so there you go. Tabitha, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into this interview.
Well, currently I am teaching kindergarten at a local Christian school. I graduated from Pensacola with a teaching degree, taught for 15 years and cared for my grandmother and others for a few years before starting back to teaching.
Awesome. So have you ever heard of the Mandela effect?
I have not.
All right. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background. The Mandela effect refers to a situation in which a large mass of people believes that an event occurred that did not. And what I want to do tonight is I want to, since you're totally new to this effect or this concept of the Mandela effect, I want to do a test just to kind of see how...
see if you're affected or not.
Yeah, well, or just to see how, you know, if there's really anything to it. So the first question I'm going to ask is we're going to ask a peanut butter question. Mm-hmm. Was there a Jiffy peanut butter?
No.
No? Okay. So that's one in the corner of against the here. So because people swear that Jiffy peanut butter Jiff peanut butter back in the day was called Jiffy. But it really wasn't. All right. Here we go. Here's a good one. Looney Tunes. Okay.
Okay.
So, was it spelled Looney Tunes as in T-O-O-N-S or Looney Tunes as T-U-N-E-S?
It's T-U-N-E-S.
All right.
Is Tabby winning?
Tabby's winning. We are 0-2 on this one. So... And I promise we have not coached her in any way on these questions. Now, the Berenstain Bears. Is Berenstain spelled with an A?
Well, you should just ask her to spell Berenstain.
Or an E.
It's E.
Okay. It is spelled with... the Lovable Bear family actually spelled their last name with an A. It's the Berenstain Bears. Mm-hmm. But people remember it growing up, like you and I would remember it being spelled S-T-E-I-N, Berenstain. So, all right, there's one for the Mandela effect.
All right, so 2-1?
2-1. Okay.
I think if I had thought clearly, maybe.
Curious George's tail. Does he have a tail or does he not have a tail?
He does not have a tail.
He does not have a tail. There's one for Tabby. How do you spell Oscar Mayer?
O-S-C-A-R-M-A-Y-E-R.
And that would be the correct way that it's done.
The only way I know how to spell it because of the song. What has it go?
Well,
my baloney has a first name.
It's O-S-E-R.
Yeah, my baloney has a second name.
But you see, the dispute there is in the word Meyer.
Yes.
People remember it being spelled M-E-Y-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skip Skechers because, well, no, Skechers, the shoe.
Okay.
Spell it.
Yeah.
I even had some Skechers.
Everybody's done had the Skechers.
Yeah, everybody's had at least one pair of Skechers, and S-K-E-T-C-H-E-R-S. Then I ain't going to take that.
S-K-E-T-C-H-E-R-S.
There's no T.
There is no T.
Okay.
Look at that. Isn't that crazy? Who knew?
Don't show her that.
I'm going to show it's the two you've
Oh, okay.
Done.
Okay.
Keep your britches out of the list.
Right. Rats.
Tell me about the Monopoly man. Describe him.
I am the worst at describing things.
You can do it. I have faith in you.
Describe him.
Describe his appearance.
He wears a top hat. He's short, black outfit.
Anything else that he had or carried or wore?
He has a cane. I already said the hat. And I don't remember if he has glasses. I don't think so.
Unless he has a monocle.
I say, unless he has a monocle. I'm unsure on that part.
Is that your final answer?
I can't give you a definitive on that one.
Well, you seem to remember a monocle, but he did not.
He carries a monocle.
Carries it. Well, in this photo, he did. But I think people in this case are actually mixing him up with Mr. Peanut because they are both
bald dudes with a top hat.
Well, Mr. Peanut's a peanut.
Well, whatever, but he's bald. Peanut doesn't have hair.
All right. Kit Kat bar.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Spell it.
K-I-T-K-A-T.
Is there any punctuation?
There's a dash.
There is not. There
Throwing
is
me
not.
Off.
People remember the Kit Kat. Having a hyphen in between Kit and Kat. Double stuff Oreo.
Spell it.
Well, that's a lot to spell.
Okay, spell stuff.
Yeah, spell the stuff just, and double stuff.
It's just S-T-U-F.
That is correct.
I got that one wrong.
Yeah, Rebecca missed that one when I first brought up the Mandela effect. The Flintstones.
Meet the Flintstones.
Yeah,
spell that one.
Do time.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones.
You're tone deaf.
Flintstones.
Sorry.
You're all keeping
it. Let's see. Well, it's either Flintstones or Flintstones.
Which way do you remember it?
I don't know.
Like,
I'm seeing both of them in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, don't think about what you think the right answer
is. I guess the T with a T in there.
The two T's?
With
that
a T.
That would be correct.
I got that one wrong.
But, yeah, I have to say, I don't remember there being two T's. It just does not stick out for me. Let's see here. Probably one of the most famous lines in all of Star Wars. What does Darth Vader tell Luke Skywalker?
You gotta breathe too, like Darth.
Oh man, I actually have.
You know this?
Well, I've heard it correctly, if I remember it correctly. He doesn't say what most people think he said, Luke, I am your father. He doesn't actually say
okay,
that.
Okay, well, if you actually know that that's not correct, then you're right. But so many people, that is probably the most misquoted movie line of all time. And it's probably one of the greatest movie lines of all time. But everybody thinks it says, Luke, I am your father.
Bonus round, because I like this one. Sing the Mr. Rogers theme song.
Let's see. It's a beautiful day and then... neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. I'm going to start seeing Daniel Tiger. Would she be mine? Could you be mine? It's a beautiful, beautiful day in this beauty. What a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Well, you come we only need anyway. we only need the first line. What's the first line of the?
Well, it's either it's a beautiful day in this beauty wood, or a beautiful day in this neighborhood. See, I said both.
You did. You had the this, and I always said it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I always remember it being a beautiful day in the neighborhood, but it's actually right. Beautiful day in this neighborhood.
See, I did it and didn't even think about it.
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy? What's his name?
Who is it?
Well, Smokey the Bear.
No, it's just Smokey Bear. It's not Smokey the Bear. Sorry.
All right, Tabby. We appreciate you taking some time.
We have the little golden book with Smokey.
We appreciate you taking time, sitting down with us to suss out the Mandela effect. We'll actually be going into some of the explanations of what could have caused it after the interview. But we want to thank you very much for taking time to do this with us. It was a lot of fun.
I have enjoyed it. I think the more you ask, it's the same start asking questions for me, myself, then I start second-guessing things and really trying to think that it's probably not what I actually think it is, but it's probably something else. So
that's true.
It could be. Yeah.
That's what happened to me, because every time he would ask me a question, I'd be like, okay, let's just reassess this. Let's examine this further.
But yes, if you just randomly ask people questions and...
Yeah, and that, but there are definitely some ringers in there. I think the Snow White one, I mean, I think everybody's going to miss that one.
And the Berenstain Bears, I think, is a big one.
And then unless you are just an absolute diehard, watch it all the time Star Wars fan, you'll probably miss that one. Because that's got to be the most misquoted movie line ever.
There we go.
All right, guys. We'll turn you back over to the regular scheduled part of the podcast. All right. So, thank you, Tabby, for the lovely interview. We really appreciate you getting on the mic and taking some time with us. So, let's move on. What we want to do is we're going to talk about some of the inner workings of this theory. And we're going to start off with our resident skeptic, Becca.
Bom, bom, bom.
And she is going to give us what she really thinks is what she really thinks is happening with the Mandela effect.
So when we're talking about the Mandela effect, we are talking about an effect that just involves false memories. Okay. So if we consider the neuroscience explanation here. So first of all, we talk about who is Alexander Hamilton? Not the musical. A little side note here. I have a student in my class who asks me every day. She leaves a post-it note on my computer every day to ask me if I've watched Hamilton yet. And every day I have to tell her, no, I have not, because I don't have time to watch TV and movies. But anyway, most Americans learned in school that he was a founding father of the United States of America, but that he was not a president. However, when asked about the presidents of the United States, many people mistakenly believe that Hamilton was a president. Why? The memory for Alexander Hamilton is encoded in an area of the brain where the memories for presidents of the United States are stored. That means by which memory traces are stored, the means by which memory traces are stored is called the engram, and the framework in which similar memories are associated is called the schema. So when people try to think about Hamilton and recall that, it sets off these neurons in close connection to each other, and they bring with it the memory of the presidents. Okay, so that's just a little bit of an explanation there. So one of the theories here of talking about these false memories, these memory-related concepts of how this actually happens is called confabulation. I like that word.
Yeah, now you better try to use that into a sentence tomorrow at school.
I will. I just might. Confabulation involves your brain filling in the gaps that are missing in your memories in order to make more sense of it. It's not exactly lying, but it's remembering things that have never happened. Confabulation tends to increase with age. And I can say that that's true. Like, I don't quite remember something, but I can make up something that I think maybe probably happened. Post-event information is information you learn after an event that can change your memory of an event. This includes event subtle information and helps to explain why eyewitness testimony can be unreliable. That is very true. I just ummed again. So this is very interesting. So like the way we remember something, I can't think of an example right now, but things that happen after the fact, I go back and I remember it differently based on what I've learned since then. Priming describes the factors leading up to an event that affect our perception of it. Also called suggestibility and presupposition, priming is the difference between asking how short a person is versus how tall a person is. And saying, did you see the black car instead of seeing a black car, makes a subtle suggestion that influences response and memory. That is very true too. Thinking about the way I describe it, it's like the psychology of the cell, how you word something to somebody. Would you like to unload the dishwasher for me or get your butt in there and unload the dishwasher? Even something that simple, I think, is that priming, that suggestibility. How short a person is, you already have in your mind, this person must be really, really short. But if I say, how tall is that person? You automatically start thinking they must be on the, I mean, you wouldn't say, hey, tall, how tall is that person? Oh, they're 4'8". I don't think you would go there. You would probably prime that, phrase that differently of, hey, how short is that? How short is that person? Oh, they're 4'8". You know, we have our, one of our guys at school is like 6'6". I wouldn't say, hey, how short is our IT administrator? And, oh, he's 6'6". No, you're going to automatically say, how tall is he? Because obviously he's pretty tall. The role of the internet, of course, does have an effect on things as well. Because we have a computer in our pocket.
False news.
And the fact that we can just Google anything that we want, any amount of time. There is no limit to what we can inquire on. No limit to what we can try to find out about things.
You know, and I want to throw one thing in there too. You know, a lot of people rely on Wikipedia for
and Wikipedia, their information. People can change and put information in there that's not even close to being right.
Yeah, I mean, I know they do try to police it a little bit by making you have references, but the fact is that anybody can change the articles.
And say, well, this really happened instead, when it really didn't. So, yes, this false news, rumors, reporting, just, it's crazy how fast. And of course, the theories, the rumors, the falsehoods, the misinformation that's out there is going to spread way faster than the actual information that is out there. So that's a little bit about the brain part about it, about our neurons and schemas and frameworks and confabulation.
That is such a cool word.
It's a fun word.
That is a very fun word.
Brain filling in the gaps that are missing in your memories.
Now on to the... Let's go out from reality just a little bit,
dude,
and go into maybe some pseudoscience. So there are two prevailing theories that try to explain the Mandela effect. And first theory is that we are sliding between parallel universes.
I just don't know about that. Skeptic alert.
Yeah. So what they're saying is each universe that we slide between is maybe slightly different from our own universe. So like, for instance, the Berenstain Bears in one universe may have been spelled with an E, when in the correct universe, it's spelled with an A. The But if you believe in the multiverse theory, then this might be incredibly believable for you. The multiverse theory says that there is an infinite amount of possible universes that make up every single possibility of space, matter, energy, and time. Within the multiverse theory, each universe for every different possibility is called a parallel universe, which is why the Mandela effect and the multiverse theory might be connected.
Very interesting. This is like the 11, what is it, 1123, 11 something 63.
That's actually more into the time
travel. I know, but it's still like parallel alternate endings. It's like choose your own ending chapter book.
Yeah, and we're actually going to get into time travel here in a minute.
Yes, now I can get into some time travel stuff. I don't believe it, but I think it is really interesting to read fiction about.
So
this is like The Flash, though, right? Mm-hmm. Going between all the multiverses, all the Harry. Yeah. I liked The Flash.
If you are a bit of a comic book fan, then the idea of a multiverse is very...
not new.
Yeah, very familiar to you, especially in the world of the DC comics. And the idea of the multiverse was there were 52 different universes. Of course, in string theory, they say there's infinite, but we'll keep it smaller. There are 52 universes in the DC Comics worlds. And the best way to explain it, and I'm going to go into my techie side a little bit. For those of y'all who have DSL internet, if that even still is a thing. I think
is that a thing anymore?
Yeah.
What is DSL? Is that dial-up?
No, it's not dial-up.
Okay.
But DSL, it runs on your traditional phone lines. And how they're able to run DSL internet through your phone lines and not interfere with your voice is they run on different frequencies. Your voice would run on one frequency and then your DSL would run in a higher frequency. And that way you could send both voice calls and the data over the same line and not interfere with each other. And that's the same, that's kind of DC's theory with the multiverse is each universe runs on its own different vibration. And the Flash was able to move between those universes because he could vibrate his particles at different speeds and he could merge into those different universes. So now we're totally getting into some science fiction, but that is the best way to explain it is like all these different universes are on the same, fill in the same space, but they all have different vibrational frequencies.
Wowzers.
Yeah, that gets really out there, but I could definitely talk comic books for a while. Now, another theory, and this one for me is just really out there, but imagine us being in the holodeck. If you ever watched Star Trek The Next Generation, the holodeck was like a virtual reality facility where users could be in any place or situation that are familiar to them. This theory is a bit more far-fetched than the sliding theory, but is still a common way for people to explain the Mandela effect. This theory has two parts to it, saying that we have either been to different holodecks and are remembering the differences between those realities, or we are currently in one right now, and it has some glitches that we are finding out. And there is a term out there called a glitch in the matrix.
Oh, is this like Keanu Reeves?
Exactly.
Hey.
It's basically saying that
now, we start talking about movies and like TV shows, I can talk about these types of things.
It basically says it's like we are in this virtual reality and these little...
a dream within a dream.
These little Mandela effect issues are little glitches in the matrix, you know, and people are noticing those things, and it can't really find the word I want to use. People noticing those,
it's kind of like, okay, so the way I can I kind of understand this is if you've ever had a floater in your eye. I had a problem with this about 3 years ago. I had this floater and it was like all around and it drove me crazy. Well, I'd never been to the eye doctor before 2018. And so when I went, my ophthalmologist was explaining to me that it's like a, I don't know, whatever, blood vessel, whatever the problem is. It's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so it's there and certain things, stress, different things will cause it to become more apparent. So is that kind of like this glitch? It just kind of pops through sometimes. And that once
I could go with that.
Like this glitch in my eye, I mean, it's not really a glitch, but that's kind of how I'm understanding it is the fact that at certain times, it's like, you know, when your pen bleeds through on the paper, sometimes it bleeds through, sometimes it doesn't. But once it's there, it's there.
I can see where you're going with that. I certainly can. Another thing we like, say like the glitch in the Matrix, somebody on one of the other podcasts I listened to the other day, they were talking about they were climbing these stairs. And like they totally like skipped the floor and don't know where it went. And then it's like it was just didn't happen. And that's kind of what they were talking about.
Is it because it was misnumbered?
No.
Places don't have a floor 13 or don't have a floor 7 or, you know, whatever, for whatever superstitious reason.
No, it wasn't that. I mean, they climb these stairs all the time. And it's like they just kind of lost.
Were they hungover?
Well, you never know.
Were there illegal drugs involved? I feel like there was sometimes substance at play here.
Another popular theory is that CERN, and CERN, if you don't know what that is,
I don't know what that
is the European Council for Nuclear Research.
How does that equal CERN? Those initials don't make sense to me.
It does if you speak French.
It's Europe. It's in France.
It's Francis. Actually in France. French. Okay. So here we go.
Okay, CERN, it's okay, CERN.
Council Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire.
Nucléaire. Okay, CERN.
So that's CERN.
Got it.
Now, CERN, this organization, they built this thing called the Large Hadron Collider in 2008. And basically, they started flinging atoms at one another and trying to discover the roots of the universe. I know she's really...
am really, really, really trying not to get ridiculous here. but seriously, flinging atoms at each other? Flinging atoms at other atoms to find out the origin of the universe? What were they hoping was going to happen? Another universe is going to explode?
Well, I think what people was... I actually kind of remember this, and maybe this is my own Mandela
effect. This is a Mandela effect.
But it seemed like I remember people being afraid that when they fired this thing up, that they were actually going to create their own little black hole and really cause some big problems. But the theory behind this is when they started flinging atoms at one another, it created some kind of ripple effect that altered our timelines, or at least our perception of things. Now, we get into one of my favorites, time travel.
Oh, didn't we just talk about time travel?
Well, you mentioned time travel, but
I was talking about the time travel. Yeah. I jumped the gun.
So
I jumped the ship.
Yeah. So another popular theory is time travel. And I really like this because I love the Back to the Future movies. And so the idea is that somehow, some way, somebody went back in time and made a change at some point. And all of these things that we once thought were changed because somebody made a single change back in time. So picture this, and I love Doc Brown's theory in Back to the Future Part 2. If you think of time as linear, you're going from point A to point B, from beginning of time to infinite till end of time, and it's linear. But if somebody was able to go back in time and make a change, you basically have created an alternate timeline that branches off from what the original timeline was. And, you know, it could be something similar, but like I say, we'll give an example. We'll do whoever created the Flintstones. Maybe one day, I guess, well, Hanna-Barbera. That's right, it was Hanna-Barbera. So this time traveler goes back, and he meets with these two gentlemen, and they were talking about this new series, the Flintstones, and he says, you know what? Maybe we ought to take that second T out, or add a second T in, you know. And so they make some kind of change, and it created a ripple effect and moved forward into the timeline we know. But what has happened is you've got some folks that remember things the way that differently. So that is basically the whole idea behind time travel on that. I mean, it's just like, you know, you go back and one change creates a ripple effect, and you've got this alternate timeline, and it moves forward, you know, and everything moves forward in that alternate timeline, but you just have some people who remember the previous timeline.
That is very curious. I do love a good time travel type book. I know, and I mentioned a minute ago, but the 1122, I think it's 22, 11...
1117, 1116?
1122, 63, or... whatever. Anyhow, Stephen King book, talking about this guy time traveling back to when JFK was assassinated. And 1122, 63, that's what it is. Anyway, it is super interesting. And then this other one, it's called The Time Traveler's Wife. It's a really incredible book. You would not have read it because it's a chick book. But it's really, really good, too. But yeah, I always find that very fascinating.
The 1122-63 is a really good example of how a timeline can be changed, because I don't really want to give away the ending if you haven't read it.
No, don't give it away. So, it's a long book.
A really long book.
We chunked it up on several trips with an audiobook. It was available through our local library as an audiobook checkout for free. And we have it on Audible also. But it's really good. Okay, I'm not a Stephen King fan because, guess what? I don't like scary things.
She's kind of afraid of the scary clowns.
Y'all, I got a little freaked out on Pretty Little Liars when that used to come on. Sometimes I'd be like, this is too intense for me. And that's like a dumb teen drama. But anyway, this was a really, because I guess I liked it because it was historical and it was interesting. It was a fun spin on Kennedy's assassination and trying to prevent it and what all went with that and the pseudoscience behind it.
Yeah, I do remember that book, and it was a very good one. And there was actually on Hulu a
miniseries. Yep.
It had James Franco in it, and it followed the book quite well. I think it was like 4, 5, maybe 6 episodes.
6 like hour-long episodes, but the book is like 20-some hours, if I'm remembering.
I thought it was closer to 30.
Maybe it was 30. I don't remember, but it was...
Because his books are usually really long.
It is really long. I'm going to look it up because I'm curious now.
Well, folks, what is your idea about the Mandela Effect? Do you remember anything differently than how reality shows it now?
Woo! 32 hours and 42 minutes. Sorry, I just pulled it up. That's a big book. Sorry, go ahead, dear. I'm getting a stink eye. I love you. I'm pretty.
Okay, let's start that over.
Sorry.
How do you let? So this is our. This is. Oh my goodness! I can't even get it out now because
I've done gommed you up.
Yeah, you did, but that's okay. We will power through.
Here we go. Do it.
So, you know, closing up on the Mandela effect, the fact that so many people remember things differently, I find to be very, very interesting. But it's kind of, I lean more towards that it's more of a psychological thing than being more of an alternate timeline or time travel. I mean, those things to me do seem kind of far-fetched. And I am the enthusiast here. I love all this science fiction stuff, but I feel like in reality,
this is more of a brain problem.
Yeah, I really do. I would like to believe some of it, but I don't. I just can't wrap my head around it, because, you know, I have my own personal beliefs of how the universe is created. But I just feel that the Mandela effect is more psychological than any kind of other scientific reasons out there. But hey, you know, Sunday night when we have our stereo conversation, you know, I will be very excited to hear from you guys. Well, that is our episode for the week. I really hope that you enjoy it. If you like our show, go out to Apple Podcasts. If you're an Apple Podcast user, please give us a rating and review. That really helps us out. It helps us to get found by more people out there. And we really, really enjoy doing this podcast for you guys. If you would like to help support the podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/boommydadsays and make a one-time donation. Help Rebecca.
Or you can really just come and buy me a coffee. Like, I'm down with that too. That will support me as well. Sorry, I like coffee.
She really likes coffee.
I'm not addicted though. Hush your face. Don't even go there. I love it. I can put it down at any time. I'm really not that bad. I drink some in the morning and that's usually it. I mean, if I'm feeling like if I have a home study to finish or I have to stay up late, I'll drink some at night. But usually I just very much enjoy my coffee. But that's not talking about the paranormal, and that's not weird.
I don't know. You're pretty ghostly until you've had that first cup of coffee in the morning.
Now, that is true. I was telling my students that the other day. They were laughing because I was sitting there in my stool. I was sitting up on my stool before class started, and I had my coffee, and I was just lovingly caressing the cup and having a sip.
My precious.
Exactly. And they're like, Ms. Metcalf, you sure do love that coffee. I'm like, you bet I do. I drink this for your safety, not mine. And they all laughed. But man, oh man, I got to have my coffee. It's pretty tasty.
This week we have a review that I was going to share with you guys, and it comes from Mama Labs. The show, love it. Super amazing podcast with the best host. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Elvis.
Highly, highly recommended. Well, thank you very much, Mama Labs. I really appreciate the review. Well, folks, I hope you all have a great rest of the week. And, dear, do you have anything you want to add there to the end?
Peace out. Be safe. Have fun. Read a book. Drink your water. That's my answer to everything is drink water.
I have a headache. Get you a cup of water.
And that's true. You dehydrated. You get a headache.
I have a hangnail.
In the head. That will help as well. Skin needs to be hydrated.
Mm-hmm. I have an itchy knee.
An itchy knee needs water because that means your skin is dry. It is stretched out.
See what this is what I live with,
you
folks.
You get to live with. Don't be having that. But really, water is amazing. And coffee, too.
I love my wife dearly, guys. Life would be boring without her.
Life would be dirty without me, too, because I'm the housekeeper. Actually, I probably shouldn't have said that. He's going to edit that out. Anyway, but it's true. Nice. He knows where his bread's buttered.
Yes, I do. Well, with that being said, I am going to leave us here with my usual farewell. Good night, and God bless, my friends.